Rhode Island was quite different. I would hear the little French ladies talking in the grocery store. They'd be speaking in English, and then I'd walk by and bonjour, bonjour. And it was very different. But you know, after living here for 27 years, I have learned to really love the area. I love the people, and I'm so, so proud of my family and my son, his wife, and their children. And I just praise the Lord that you were lucky enough to get such a good family for your pastor.
She couldn't even play any kind of an instrument that we know of when she came from Oklahoma, and we were in dire needs of a piano player, organ player, so she took a crash course at the beginning from Mr. Costa, and within, I don't know, 6 weeks, she was playing the organ for the church, and she's been the church organist forever since that time. And I was thinking, who was Mr. Chaput? He came to my mind for some reason. Who was Mr. Chaput? Oh, one of the sign painters that we've had. I don't know. That was just one of those French things that come to your mind, you know. And but I was thinking of Mr. Chaput was the organ That's right. Mr. Nutting, Herbert P. Nutting, and Mr. Nutting would bring his wife. His wife was a character. If you knew Mrs. Nutting, she wasn't happy about a lot of things. Go ahead. Anderson. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Well, I was thinking of a lot of different. Mom's been my teacher most of the time that I was growing up as an English teacher, or first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, ninth grade, tenth grade, 11th grade, and 12th grade. But, you know, I appreciate my parents. I appreciate the heritage and the legacy that they've left behind. And for us to continue in the things, just like Paul told Timothy, continue in the things that you've learned. And now we're seeing Justin and Andrew preach for his first time last night in his church in Colorado. So we're anxious to hear that message, and anxious to see how he did. But we're glad that you've chosen to be with us this historical event this week. Miss Pam, come and sing for us.
God gave a bold command to cross the Jordan and take the land. Not to worry about the giants they would face. But when the spies return to tell the others what they had learned, they said, for us to win, there's just no way. Still two of them trusted God, Caleb and Joshua. They said, children, don't believe what you have heard. We know we're outmanned by far, and they're much bigger than we are. But let's not forget just who it is that we serve. With all the many miracles, why don't you think it's possible? With all the many things we see, why do you think it's just a dream? With all the things he's done for us, don't you think it's time? Remember what is possible. With all the many miracles, like when we were about to die, manna fell from the sky, and water came from a dry old dusty rock. And like when Pharaoh was closing in, God closed the sea again. But not before we all had safely crossed. So here you are, my friend. You face a battle you cannot win. You tell yourself, there's just no need to try. Consider how good God's been. He's been faithful time and again. You must believe, and here's the reason why. With all the many miracles, why don't you think it's possible? With all the many things we see, why do you think it's just a dream? With all the things he's done for us, don't you think it's time we trust? Remember what is possible. With all the many, with all the things he's done for us, don't you think it's time we trust? Remember what is possible. With all the many miracles.
Yes.
Well, I did want to say that I have three of the most important out of the four women of my life here tonight. My mom, the greatest mother-in-law in the world, and my wife. And my daughter, I don't know where she's at, but she's the fourth one. And so just pray for her tonight. Brother Danny, come and preach to us tonight.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The most wonderful mother-in-law. I thought this is the only wife you've had. You told me some things about that old woman there that I... Brother, that ain't what he told me. No wonder you don't like him after the way he talks about you. Amen. Good to be in the Lord's house tonight, isn't it? Amen. Where you can laugh for free. Don't cost you a thing. Amen. It is good to be here. Appreciate all of you for coming tonight. Got another, I'm going to go out on a limb and say a good looking crowd tonight. I normally don't say that, but tonight I just feel like lying. No, we're glad you're here tonight. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, some of you folks, most of you folks have been faithful all this week, be here every night. And we praise the Lord for you. And those of you that haven't been here every night, we praise the Lord for you too and wonder where you've been. Amen. But we're glad you made it tonight. Praise the Lord. We really are. God certainly is good to us, isn't he? He's a lot better to us than what we deserve. Amen. Even if we live for him and put him first, he's still better to us than what we deserve. And I praise him for his goodness and mercy. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Joel. Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3 and verse number 14. Joel 3:14. We've been preaching about sin all week. You say, brother, that's all you preachers ever preach about. It's about sin. Well, it's because we know so much about it. Amen. And God's against sin, and he warns us about sin, and then he saves us from sin, amen, that we might be able to go to a place where there is no sin. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. So if you'll stand with us tonight, we'll see what the Lord has for us in Joel chapter 3, Joel 3, verse 14. The Bible says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decisions. We'll just read the one verse and we'll read it again. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you tonight, Lord, for being near as we are here in this valley of decision tonight. God, you've been speaking to hearts all this week. And Lord, some have been to the altar and they've prayed. I believe that some have gotten a little closer to you. I believe some have been encouraged. I believe some have been challenged. And yet, Lord, some tonight still are in that valley of decision. And they've not fully decided what they're going to do. Many of them even came and prayed about it. But they've not reached a decision as to what they're going to do. You asked the question there in Romans as we read the other night. Shall we continue in sin? And Lord, that question is to us. And Father, some of us have not answered yet if we're going to continue in sin or not. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that we'd realize we're in that valley of decision and it's time to make a decision, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us tonight to make the right decision for you that would bring honor and glory to you. And yet, Lord, how it would help us so much if we'd make this right decision. Lord, speak to us tonight. Dear God, I pray, Father, that in this service, Lord, we would find your will for our life. And we would set out to accomplish that at all costs, Lord. Knowing, Lord, that whatever it might cost us in this life, it'll be well worth it in the life to come. Lord, we need your help. We pray that you'd help us tonight. We pray for that one that might be in that valley tonight. Maybe they're not there yet, but they're headed for that valley of decision as far as being saved. I pray tonight, God, that you'd help them to realize, Lord, you're the only Savior there is. And Lord, that if they're going to go to heaven, they got to go through Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'd help them tonight with this decision to make the right one, and that is to accept you. I pray that, Lord, that you'd give them strength and courage to believe upon you, Lord, and to accept you into their heart. Father, would you have your will and way? Lord, would you help us to get out of the way tonight and let you just do what you want to do? In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're faced many times in life with decisions. We don't want to think of it as a valley, but it pretty much is a valley a lot of times that we're in. For sometimes God has to get us in that valley, and we might say a valley of despair, to where we're looking up and God's trying to get us to the place where when we make our decision, we make it not based on emotions. Now listen to me. Please listen to me. Y'all know I'm an emotional guy. I like an exciting service. I like the amens and the hallelujahs and the glory to God and praise the Lord. I like all of that. I believe God does. Amen. He encourages it. But my friend, listen, sometimes we get caught up in the emotional part and we make a decision emotionally. Now, I believe this is going to be hard for me to explain. Some of you know what I'm talking about when I say, I know what I'm talking about, it's just hard to explain it. Amen? You see, folks, I believe that when God speaks to our heart, He deals with our emotions to get us to do the right thing. But sometimes we get caught up in the emotional part and we make a decision based upon the emotions, not based upon our heart. And we get all excited about it and praise God, I tell you, Pastor, I got things right tonight. Brother, I tell you, my life is going to change from now on. And sure enough, it does for the next couple of nights. And then when the emotions are not riding so high and we get back down to earth where we have to live, we forget about the decision we made back when we were emotional. I see it happen a lot of times. In our churches, my friend, I see it happen a lot of times. You say, well, if you would not get folks worked up and emotional, then that wouldn't happen. No, that's not it. That's not it. I believe we need to get worked up. I believe the Bible teaches us that's part of my job as an evangelist is to stir you up. Amen. We need to get excited for Jesus. Amen. But we need to make a decision based upon our heart and our relationship with God. And therefore, my friend, it will last. Amen. It won't just be for the one night. Boy, folks go out from the church, and I'll be honest now, and don't get mad at me, it's your fault. But when the service comes to an end and we're standing at the door and folks are going out and they're saying, boy, I sure enjoyed that message. I appreciate that message. Man, I got a lot of help. Well, I'll tell you, God spoke to my heart and God's made a difference in my heart. You know what I expect? Excuse me. I expect everybody to come back the next night that says things like that. But some of you rotten rascals don't do it. Amen. I think it's because you've made an emotional decision, not a heart decision. You see, this thing is all about the heart condition between us and God. It's not about our emotions between us and God. It's about our heart between us and God. And when we make a decision based upon our heart, I mean, what I'm saying when I say based upon our heart, it's a heart thing, as we said, and we allow our heart to just go all out for the Lord, and we decide that's the way we want it, not just tonight and not just tomorrow night and not just through the revival meeting, but as a matter of fact, it's just now starting, and it starts building now and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks to come and months to come and even years to come, my friend. We're still on fire for Jesus. Amen. Why? Because it's in our heart. Amen. Our emotions change. I mean, they change so quickly. We can be up here emotionally one moment and the next moment, my friend, it's like the carpet's been pulled out from under us and we're laying flat on our back and now our emotions are down. So what do we do? You know how some of us live? That's emotions. The heart keeps you going. And what I like about the heart, listen, it's on a gradual incline. It's going up. In other words, we've fallen in love with Jesus more and more every day. Listen, I loved Him March the 27th, 1969, on a Thursday night when I accepted Him as my Savior. He came into my heart and immediately I fell in love with the Lord. Amen. But I honestly feel like I love Him more tonight than I ever have before. Now let me explain that to us physically. I met Miss Pam in 1975. And it wasn't long till I fell in love with her. Amen. And then it wasn't long till we got married. And I loved her in 1975. And 1976 is when we got married. And I loved her even more in 1976. I mean, folks, she lit up my life when she came into my life. I loved her. But now today, after all these years, after 39 years, you know what? I can honestly say I love her more today than I did 39 years ago. You know why? Simply because I know more about her today than I did 39 years ago. Amen. And over these years, all we've done over these years is just gotten closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. And wow. Amen. Amen. We've just gotten closer. Some of you that have been married any length of time, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Amen. I mean, you just, as you grow older together, you grow not apart together, but to closer together. Amen. That's the way God intended on it to be. And that's the way it is, my friend. We just learn more about, even though, my friend, when I first met her, I had no ideas about the glitches that she had. Amen. Chances are, that's all I know about computers, okay? Chances are, had I known all the glitches, I'd have cut the relationship off right there. Amen? And vice versa, though I don't have any, but if I had, she would have ended the relationship. But because, listen to me, I fell in love with her, and then I began to find out more and more and more about her. But all it done was cause me to love her more and more. That's exactly the way it ought to be with the child of God. See, y'all forgive me, but I have a hard time understanding why someone gets saved and doesn't follow the Lord. Now, when I say follow the Lord, I'm talking about getting closer and closer and closer. That relationship. I don't understand it. I don't understand how folks can get in and get out like we've been talking about this week. Get in and get out, get in and get out, get in and get out. Now don't get mad at me. I'm not God. Don't worry about it. He forgives you. I don't, but He does. Amen. But I just have a hard time understanding why. How can you do that? How can you love God so much, you know? How can you say that you love Him so much? And if you really do, how can you walk away from Him? I just can't imagine walking away from this woman right here. I mean, I've told her, and y'all have heard me say this, but I've told her, if you ever leave me, I'm going with you. Amen. Her mother told her before we got married, she said, I'm going to tell you this. She said, if y'all get into it, there's no need in coming home because there's not a place for you. You know what that sweet woman said? You know what she was saying? There ain't room for him, and I know him. He's coming with you. Amen. Amen. You say, now, Brother Danny, don't y'all ever get into it and have your arguments? Well, sure we do. We're not stupid. Sure you do. You know why? I found out something. That's a good excuse to make up. Hello. Amen. Yeah, we have our differences. I even find out that I can't even get along with me sometimes. Amen. But my friend, what I'm trying to get us to realize tonight, it's not to get mad at the preacher like a lot of times we do when he makes statements. Now, he's talking to me. He knows who he's talking to. Well, of course I do. But listen, it's not about getting you all riled up and mad. It's about helping you to realize something, that you need to have this close walk with the Lord, this close relationship with the Lord, to where you just wouldn't walk away from Him. I don't care. Listen to me. I don't care what happens. I can't see myself walking away from her. If every man in the world walked away from his wife, I still could not look at her and say, well, everybody else is doing it, so long, toots. Amen? I can't do that. Amen? So why do we do that to the Lord? Listen, I love Miss Pam with all the heart that God has given me in which to love her. Now, here's what I'm trying to get at. I love Him more. He is number one in my life. And she already knew that. He's number one in my life. Amen. Folks, listen to me. If I love her that much that no one else can come between us, oh, I'm telling you, folks, it don't matter what kind of lies are told or anything like that. No one's going to come in between me and this woman. Amen. And if somebody tries, I'm liable to nub them to death. Amen. I may not be big in your sight, but you give me a baseball bat and I'll grow a little bit. Amen. Amen. But I can't imagine anything coming between me and her. Well, I love her that much, but I love the Lord more. I can't just get upset and get my feelings hurt because some of y'all did this or some of you did that or whatever and just walk off from God. What did He do to break this relationship? Nothing. He's always cultivated that relationship. My friend worked at making it closer and closer. He's the one that's always drawing me closer to Him. Amen. And I just can't imagine it. Yet some of us do. I want to help you tonight. I'm not trying to offend you. I want to help you tonight. God wants you to be helped tonight. Amen. He's sending out help tonight if you'll let Him help you with your relationship between Him and yourself. So here we look at the verse again. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. My friend, I believe some of us here tonight or in that valley. We're in that valley of decision. I believe that God has brought us to a place to where He's speaking to us. And now, listen to me, a lot of times we respond like this. That's our response. My friend, listen to me. If our response is not in some form or fashion, even if it's just saying to Him or actually doing it, if it's not getting taking a step closer to Him, my friend, it's the same as saying, no, I do not want a closer walk with you. Amen. I want us to come tonight. God wants us to come tonight to a place where we make the right decision. I told you the other night, a lot of our storms in life are brought about because of bad decisions. Amen. Man, again, we look at the Bible, and the Bible is full of people that made bad decisions. They were in the valley of decision and they made a bad decision. Again, we used Lot the other night. Remember how he pitched his tent towards Sodom? My friend, that was a bad decision. He looked at the world to see what he could get in the world. Not looking to God to see how God was going to bless him. He was looking to the world to see what he could get. Folks, listen to me. Hundreds, yea, thousands, and over the years, millions of Christians have done the very same thing. We've looked to the world for our blessings. And when we go in that direction, my friend, it always brings evil into our life. Bad decision. I mean, things happen, things come up, and we say, oh my, look at this. Look at God must be putting this in my life. Listen to me. Everything that looks good and pops up in your life does not mean that it's of God. Amen. Well, we go after it. We pray. We'll pray as much as one time over something. And then we go to looking. And when we find something, we say, well, looky here. Well, looky here. Way down here over in this right. Looky there. Look what God put in my life. You look hard enough, you'll find something. Amen. And then when we get a hold of it, folks, and it looks like, whoo, look how God's blessed me. We'll even tell folks, look what a blessing God has put in my life. And look out, after a while we find out that wasn't a blessing. It was a curse. Amen. It was a curse. And it was the Lord God that blessed us with it. It was the God of this world that blessed us with it. Amen. He put it in our life. He gave it to us. And it seemed like such a great thing at the time. But now look at it. As a matter of fact, this thing has taken my family from me. I have turned my focus and my adoration to this thing that I thought God was giving me. But now I realize something. It's of the devil. And the devil has taken my family for this thing. Many, many, many a family is there tonight. Who is in this valley? Well, it's not just Lot. And like I said, the Bible is full of people that made bad decisions based upon what they could get out of the world. Amen. My friend, listen to me. But you know what I think? I thank God that the Bible is also full of people that made the right decisions. Rather than looking to the world for blessings, they looked to God for blessings. And they said, Lord, I'm just going to follow you. Wherever you lead me, I'm going to follow you, Lord. And I'm going to trust you. You said you would take care of me. You said if I'd seek you first, that you'd supply all of my needs, that you'd just take care of all of the things that I need, my food, my clothing, I mean, a roof over my head. Lord, you said you'd give me all that if I'd seek you first. Amen. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things shall be added unto you. Why don't we get satisfied with the blessings of God? Christians, we need to decide tonight, the blessings of God are good enough for me. I don't need the blessings of the world. Amen? Folks, I'm going to tell you, that's like some of these folks in this world. Again, remember, my goal is not to offend you, okay? So if you get offended, somebody else is doing the offending. That's the reason some folks got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 husbands or wives. You know why? They've always found somebody that looked a little more attractive to them. Amen. Amen. My friend, that's exactly the way it is with God. Some of us tonight, we're always looking and we're finding something that's a little more attractive to us than the blessings that God has. Until we get a hold of them. Amen. It's just like a man and his fourth or fifth wife. After a while, he gets to get married, and then he realizes she's just like the other one. She's just like the other one. Problem is, it probably wasn't even the other one that was the problem. It was him and his eye of looking for something better. Amen. Just when you get married, just make the best out of the situation. That's what your spouse is doing. Amen. They're just making the best out of their situation. Amen. So go ahead and do that. We need to do the same with the Lord. Listen, God is greater than anything upon this earth. The blessings that he has are greater than any blessings, my friend, in this life, but not only in this life, but the blessings of God that he gives us are eternal things that will help us way out yonder in the next life. Amen. We're in the valley tonight. Some of you just getting in it because you're the first night you've been here. But you're in the valley tonight. It's time to make decisions. Husband and wives, who are some that are in the valleys tonight or in the valley of decision? There's husband and wives tonight right here at Blackstone Valley Baptist Church that are in the valley of decision tonight. Listen to me. I've often said this, but I believe if a man and woman, as they get married, if they would work as hard as folks do to keep a marriage from making it, if they'll work that hard to keep a marriage in making it, my friend, they'll have no problems. Amen. I've seen some couples that they are determined to get a divorce no matter what. It doesn't matter what God says. It doesn't matter what the preacher says. It doesn't matter what the church says. It doesn't matter what anybody says. As a matter of fact, they're so determined. And even if the other one is fighting hard to keep the marriage together, I mean, they're going out of their way to make the marriage really work. I mean, they're doing everything. As a matter of fact, they're taking blame when it's not even on their shoulders many a time. But that other one says, I don't want it to work. I don't want it to work. Well, if they would turn that thing around and both of them were working hard at making it work, they'd have a happy life, wouldn't they? Amen. They'd have a happy marriage. Praise the Lord. Husband and wives, there's some of you sitting here tonight. Maybe no one else knows it. But you're fighting. And I mean, you're in that valley of decision, and your decision has been up until this point tonight. Divorce. Divorce. I'm serious. You say, Brother Danny, who is it? I have no idea. It's none of my business. It's none of yours. That's between them and God. But there's someone here this evening, my friend, and no doubt in my mind, that's fighting this battle. They're in that valley of decision, and they're just toiling over this thing. What should we do? What should we do? Hey, listen, get with God. Find out what God has to say. Amen. If you don't, you're going to ruin your life for the rest of your life. And you're going to ruin those around you. If you have children, their lives are ruined. Amen. Nothing good's ever come out of divorce. Nothing good. Now, some of you are here and you've been married and remarried and maybe even re-remarried. Amen? Let me tell you something. Listen, you be honest with us. Nothing good's ever come out of divorce. There's hurt. Hurt that some folks never get over in a lifetime. You say, how do you know so much? You act like you know so much. Listen to me. I was born in a family of 13 of us kids. 10 sisters and 2 brothers. My friend, I've seen my sisters come home with busted lips, all swollen up, black eyes, from that sorry man of hers that had beat her up and then drop her off at the end of the drive out there. Didn't even have the nerve to bring her all the way to the house. I've stood in the house there watching my sister walk down the road coming back home. I know about that kind of junk. Now, you know what I've done? Listen to me. Young people, you listen to me very carefully. I purposed in my life at that time to not be that way. You see, young people today say, well, I'm that way because mom and dad, all they ever did is fuss and fight. Now, it's just, I was grown up that way, you know, just raised like that. That's the only way I know to be. You're wrong. That'd be the devil's excuse for you to use, but that's not right. I've seen it happen. My mom would get beat up by my dad, and he died a drunk. Do you think that is a reason for me to be a drunk? Oh, no, that's a reason for me not to be a drunk. Hey, I don't understand this world and their reasoning tonight. Amen. Well, it's in my genes. Well, get a new pair of jeans, bless God. Amen. What? Don't be stupid about this thing. Come on, show a little bit. I mean, just a spark of intelligence. Amen. We're not born from apes. Amen. We're smarter than the monkeys. Amen. And so show it, my friend, by being in that situation. And then when you can, get yourself out of that situation to never go back to that situation. Any dummy can do that. Amen. My friend, listen to me. Grew up in a Christian home? No, did not grow up in a Christian home. But thank God, God gave me a Christian home. You know why? Because I didn't like that other home I had. Amen. So I said, I want to be different, praise God. I don't mean weird different. Let my pants drag down below my, way down low. Amen. Praise God. Hey, I don't want to be weird different. Just want to be different. I want to be different for Jesus' sake. Amen. When I'm different, I want to have a reason for it. Something I can back up with the Word of God. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, listen, there's some moms and dads tonight. You're in the valley. It's a valley decision. You're trying to decide tonight. What should you do? What should you do about your situation? Do I go ahead and just fuss and fight? Some folks believe, well, that's the only alternative there is to divorce, is just fuss and fight the rest of your life. No, it ain't either. There's such a thing as loving. Amen. Yeah, but she's done or he's done. It don't matter what they've done. Remember this, what have you done? Amen. And Jesus has forgiven you. Amen. And he don't throw it up in your face every other day. Hallelujah. If it's brought up, my friend, it's brought up by the devil, but my God never brings up my past. Amen. So you have no right. My friend, hey, get over it. We might say it like this, grow up. Amen. We're still acting like children. They got my joy. Amen. Grow up, praise the Lord. Moms and dads are in the valley of decision tonight, trying to make a decision. Do they just stay with sin Or do they come out from among the sin and get with God? Amen. We've been preaching about sin all this week. How that sin gets a hold on us, folks. Listen, we seemingly have a hard time shaking it. Oh, my friend. I talked with a pastor this afternoon. A pastor called me from down in Georgia. And he was talking to me. And his son's had an alcohol problem for years and years and years and years. And he said, he was telling me about him, and his name is Johnny. I won't tell you his last name, but his first name is Johnny. He said, Brother Danny said, Johnny came back home. Now, the man's married, been married for years, and got his wife and got some children, and he'll clean up for a while, and then he'll go back, you know. And this brother was telling me, he called me up a few months ago and said, Dad, I need some help. I've been getting back on the alcohol again. He said, I just need some help. I need a place I can go to and get away from the influence that alcohol and my friends have got on me. And he said, I need some help. And so he moved back in with mom and dad. Now he's probably 50 years old. And he moved back home with mom and dad for a while. This preacher said, Brother Danny, he's been doing real good. Said, I mean, he's going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And if we had special services, missionary coming in, whatever's going on, said, here Johnny was. Said, boy, he was at church. He said, then all of a sudden, said, he got him in this job. He's making a little money. And said, then he comes to me and he says, Dad, I'm doing pretty good. I know I need to go back to where I lived with my wife, my children, but he said, I think I still need a little bit of help, but I'm doing pretty good financially. I'm going to rent me a apartment out and move out so I can give you and mom some space again. And my brother said to him, my preacher friend said to him, said, Johnny, don't do that. You don't need to do that. You need to stay here and let us help you with this. And he said, no, I'll be all right. And he said, he moved out one day and he said he hadn't been, after that day, he said he's never been back to church. Said me and his mother had called him, said found out that he's left town, going back to drinking and everything. I'm going to tell you, sin's got a hold on some folks tonight. I'm not making light of it and said, oh, what you need to do is just snap your finger and tell that sin, get out of the way. You can't do it. Because sin is too strong for you and I to just say, leave me alone. Get away. I'm not going to sin no more. Won't work. You say, what? No, won't work. The only way that we can step away from sin and leave that sin alone is by the help of God Himself. We sang the songs, many of them tonight, about there's power in the blood. Amen. And only through the blood of Jesus Christ can we overcome. Amen. The sin that is in this world, I'm telling you, it is stronger than our flesh is, my friend, and it causes our flesh to be weak and just yield to it. But tonight, my friend, we're in the valley of decision, and it's time that we get with God, and not so much an emotional decision, but a decision from our heart. God, help me. I want to say no to sin for your honor and glory. I'm going to let you help me. God, I'm going to take instruction. I'm going to take advice from you. Lord, nobody else, just you. You say, nobody else? That's right. And what about the preacher? I know this preacher here. You come to him for some advice. You know where you're going to get it? From God. Amen. When I said nobody else, the reason is because everybody's got their opinion. Huh? Everybody's got an opinion. How you ought to handle this, how you ought to handle that. And it's amazing to me, we always listen to the ones that are already struggling themselves. Amen. Well, I remember pastoring. Folks come to you for advice. You knew good and well. You can tell which ones are going to listen, which ones are not. You know why? They got a track record. They never listened before. Excuse me, you say, well, there's always the first time. I'm waiting. Amen. Thank God there is a first time. But you need to do that. You need to make it that first time. And let that also be your last time. What I'm saying is get right with God. Let God have your life. You say, Brother Danny, oh, you're Mr. Spiritual, aren't you? No. I have my struggles too, but I found out where my help comes from. Amen. Comes from the Lord. Praise God. You say, well, that's just a weakness on your part. Sure is. Thank God I'm weak enough to know that He's my strength. And some of you are still falling around in this world like a little bitty baby that hasn't even learned how to walk, just pulling up to the table or a chair and then falling flat on your face, and you think you're strong. Huh? Come on. Living in the world, making decisions like the world, letting the world, as a matter of fact, let the world make your decisions. Let me ask you this. How's that working for you? There's victory in Jesus tonight. I know about that victory. Amen. Been living in that victory since 1969. Been living in the victory of Jesus. Amen. Been perfect all that time? No, as a matter of fact, I hadn't seen a day that I was perfect. But praise God, I've been walking in victory. Because I know He's my help tonight. Amen. Husbands and wives, my friend, are there tonight. Some of you, it may not be all that bad yet. It's just starting. You back off from God. Listen, you back away from God just a little bit. Trouble's on your way. What burdens my heart. I've seen it when I pastored. Burdens my heart, Brother Randy, when you see a couple that's faithful to God in your church. And all of a sudden, they step back from God just a little bit. Brother Randy, I think you need to get somebody else to do this. Or I think you need to get somebody else to do that. And they step away. We're not getting out of church. We still love God, but we just think it's time for us to just step back. We've been working hard, and we need to kind of relax. What are you saying? Stop and listen to yourself. We just want to step back. Isn't that backsliding? Hello? Step back? We want to just step back and give somebody else an opportunity to serve God. You listen to me. You're going to give up that job God's given you? You're going to give it up that easy? Huh? No. There's a song, that old song. We've sang it before. We'll work till Jesus comes. You say, but Brother Danny, sometimes we just get tired. Oh, I know. I mean, we go, and my friend, we've already been going for weeks, and we've got, from now up until Thanksgiving, every week we have a meeting, a revival meeting. Some of them are Sunday through Wednesday. Some of them are Sunday through Friday. But every week now up until Thanksgiving, and thank God for Thanksgiving, we get off the week of Thanksgiving, not the weekend before nor the weekend after, but just the week of Thanksgiving. We're going to have a hallelujah time being off. Amen. But Brother Danny, sometimes you get tired. Let me tell you something. God has created in us these good works. We've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians. And God will give us the strength that we need to do those good works until He says it's time. And my friend, listen, there's a resting place called heaven for us where we'll labor no more. So go ahead and wear yourself out for Jesus. Amen. I'd rather wear myself out for Jesus than to let sin and the devil wear me out. Because that's exactly what's about to happen when you step back from God's work. You're making the wrong decision. Our decision ought to be always to step closer. Nowhere in the Bible does He say, back off for a little while. He always says, draw nigh to Him. For He will draw nigh to you. He's always calling us to come. He never says, go back, go away. Never in the Bible do you find God ever calling us to step back. He always calls us to come. Amen. And I think of others that are in here. Not only husbands and wives, but dads and moms are in the valley of decision tonight. I haven't been giving you any scriptures, but you know the scriptures concerning husbands and wives in the book of Ephesians. The Bible tells us exactly how a wife is supposed to be. Amen. And I've yet to find anybody that God consulted with before He came up with this. In other words, it's God's word. He tells the wife that she's to be under subjection to her own husband, and then He tells the husband to love the wife and reverence her. Amen? Or to love her. A wife is supposed to reverence him. but to love her as Christ loved the church. But then we come to moms and dads, my friend, and there's some moms and dads here tonight that are struggling with your children. What to do about this thing called discipline? Seems like we don't know what the word means anymore. Amen. Discipline. We think discipline is, if you do that one more time, I'm going to send you and that game boy or whatever it is you got there, I'm going to send you to your room, and you're not going to come out of there for hours. And they say, yes. That's all they were doing in the living room anyway. So now you're just going to getting them in there so they can get into something, my friend, that you have no idea what it's about. Our children are caught up with this stuff. The devil has lured them away into all these games, my friend, and it's how to steal cars and how to kill folks. We wonder about all this killing, all the shooting and everything that's going on. You know where it's coming from? The games that our children play in their bedroom where they're being punished. And part of it is they're in there trying to figure out a way to kill you because you're punishing them. I know this is not popular. I've never been called a popular preacher anyway. Amen? But it's the truth. Moms and dads don't know any more about discipline. My friend, it's a shame. Some of these older adults here, boy, they could tell you stories about discipline. Amen? How that moms and dads used to discipline them. I'm going to tell you what. I think some of these workers, what do they call them? Case workers or whatever they are. They change their titles so much, you can't keep up with what they are. Amen? I'd like to see some of them tangle with my mom. First one that said anything to her about how to discipline her children, she'd grabbed a peach tree limb and she'd have wore it out on them. Well, they're hollering, "Oh, woman, I'm going to have you locked up." She'd say, "Go ahead if you're able." Amen. She'd just beat the tar out of them with that old peach limb. Amen. And they rightly deserve it. Hallelujah. Amen. My mama never whipped me a time that I didn't deserve it. As a matter of fact, she let me go sometimes when I ought to have been whipped. You know what it's done? It's taught me discipline in my own life. Amen. Amen. It's taught me, my friend, to say yes to God and no to sin. It sure has helped me a whole lot. Amen. Young people today don't have character, let alone Christian character. Amen. Don't know anything about it anymore. You know why? Because moms and dads don't teach it anymore. You know why? Because moms and dads don't practice it. There's some dads and moms tonight, my friend, that are there. Look with me right quick in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, I thought this was going to be a very short message. I was going to run right through this thing. Some of y'all need more than I thought you needed. Proverbs chapter number 13. Proverbs chapter 13. In verse number 14. I'll tell you what, let's start with number 12. We'll need to start with that right there. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Let me tell you something. I don't care what popular opinion is. I only care with what God says, because this is the final authority. Amen. The Word of God has always worked, and it is working, and it will always work. Amen. I mean, when everything else fails and everything up until now has failed other than the Word of God, and when all has failed, my friend, this blessed old book will still be standing. Why? Because it'll still work. Amen. When everything, all of our programs and all these other things, my friend, when all of that fails, my friend, we'll find the Word of God still works. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Now look at verse 14, dealing with discipline. The backslider in his heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. My friend, listen to me. God is speaking to our hearts. He's dealing with our hearts. And he's speaking to us, and I've read the wrong verses. Amen. I I was going to tell y'all I was perfect, but I blew that right then. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 13:24. We needed those other verses anyway. The Bible says this: he that spareth his rod hateth his son. You got to understand with God. With God, there's only hate and love. There's no liking. There's no disliking. It's either love or hate. Amen. That's it. There's no degrees of love and hate. There's just love and hate. So he says this with that in mind: he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That means a whole lot. Amen. If we love our children, we will chasten them, correct them. Amen. That don't mean just beat them for the sake of beating them. It means to correct them because we love them and we don't want them to grow up to be a spoiled brat. And if we leave them that way, my friend, without correcting them, they will grow up to be a spoiled brat. Amen. Some of you adults are here tonight to prove that you're just a spoiled brat. You are. That's just all you are. That's all you're ever going to be. Why? Because you don't take correction. Amen. God tries to correct you. You just huff and puff, get mad, and take your toys and go home. Till another disaster comes along, and then you run back to God for help. And he's still trying to get you right over the first time, my friend. So the first time he comes down on you, you huff and puff and run again. When are you going to learn to just take it and get right? I found out the best thing I could do when my mom got after me with a peach tree limb. And she did. This ain't hearsay, honey. I was there. I'm like that song, I was there when it happened. I guess I ought to know, amen. But when she'd get after me with a peach tree limb, my friend, listen to me, you know what I found out the best thing to do? Is to draw nigh to mama and she'd draw nigh to me. Now you listen to me. At a distance, a peach tree limb, now get this through your head. I'm not talking about a peach tree limb that big around. Okay? We call it a switch. Amen? They sting real bad. And at a distance, you can wear somebody out. I mean, you can put a hurt on somebody. But when they get up close, it's hard to... Amen? I'd draw nigh to mama. Amen. I'd get close to her. Amen. And the whip wasn't near as hard. Oh, she'd get wore out. It would wear her out a lot more than standing back here. She could just stand here and go whap and whap all day long. But up there close, she's having to just work that little arm just like this right here. So when she'd get through, after I've drawn nine to her, my friend, and she'd get through, she'd be wore out, and she'd think, boy, I taught him a lesson. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you, listen, we need to learn to correct our children. Those innocent little angels that we got. Amen? For if we'll notice, halos are perfectly round. They're not sharp and pointed. Our children, listen to me, they're born into this world as little devils, not little angels. It's our job to teach and correct the devil out of them. And if you love your child, excuse me, maybe one of them social workers here tonight, but if we love our children, we will correct them. Now, if you don't like that, you take it up with God. I wouldn't advise it, but go ahead and try. Amen. God's the one that has... Listen to me, this is God's plan for raising our children. And it will work. It has been proven over the years to work. And today, in this day and time in which we live, there's some proof here at this church that it still works. There's some proof right here that it worked a few years ago. Hey, there's some proof. Wherever they are, they're backsliding on God tonight. Out dealing drugs or something. I don't know where they are. But listen, their children are proof that it worked a few years ago. Amen. And you know what? Now, some of you got young children running around here tonight. Amen. All ages. And they're proof that the Bible still works. Problem is, some of you, you didn't do it right, and now you're complaining and blaming it on God and everybody else, my friend, and you just won't take the rap for it yourself. But truth is, you're to blame. Amen. And so you get mad at God because, well, I don't know why my children didn't turn out right. Wait just a second. It's like some of you ladies, and let me take this opportunity to say thank you for the fine meals that we've had. He said, Brother Danny, I haven't fixed you anything. We ain't left yet. But thank y'all for the fine meals that we have had. But that's like some of you ladies here. Here, let's take a couple of ladies, and they're going to make a strawberry shortcake, amen? And so this one over here, she gets her some nice, pretty, red, ripe strawberries. And what she gets, and that's as far as I can go with it, because I don't know what else she put into it, amen? But she gets all the other necessary ingredients to make this strawberry shortcake. And this other woman, she says, you know what I think I'm going to put in my strawberry shortcake? I think I'm going to put dill pickles. So she gets dill pickles, and she starts there, and instead of flour, she gets cornmeal. Instead of whatever else you put in there, use your imagination. I got to tell you everything, amen? But her ingredients are totally different from the real strawberry shortcake, amen? And so they put them in the oven, they cook them up, and they get it ready to serve, and they serve it. And here's folks eating these two, and one is eating over here, and they're saying, what is this? This is the awfulest tasting junk I've ever had. And now that woman's feelings are hurt. Well, you shouldn't have said that. You ought to lied to her and told her it's good. Got sick, went to the hospital, and had your stomach pumped out. Amen. Then here's this other lady. She's put in all the right ingredients. And you know what's come out of that? Guess what's come out of that? Y'all have heard this before. Of course, that's what came out of it. Strawberry shortcake. Because that's what the ingredients is what she put in it. Some of us, listen to me, we put in the dill pickles and we put in vinegar and we put in everything else that we can think of in our children's life. What are you saying? We put everything that the world's got to offer into our children's lives and they've turned out, my friend, I mean, yuck, pew, bad. I mean, nobody else likes to be around them. Even the prison guard don't like them. Amen. And we wonder why. I don't understand it. Are you serious? Are you that dumb? I'm just being honest with you. Some of us act like we are that dumb. We get mad at God. Well, I took them to church. There's more to the Christian life than just being taken to church. My friend, you listen to me. That don't change. It takes us nurturing those children. Bringing them up, the Bible says, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's, praise God, one of them came in tonight. Got under conviction. He's got things right. Yes, bless him, Lord. Amen. Well, we ought to rejoice when the prodigal comes home. Why? 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 Because we like you. M-O-U-S-E. Amen. Sorry, that's just there. Devil made me do it. Amen. We need to correct our children. We need to learn. Hey, listen to me. This is what God commands us to do. And we ought to do it. Not because the preacher said so, but because God's word says so. Look with me right quick in Proverbs chapter number 19. I'll try to get it right this time. Chapter 19, verse 18. The Bible says in chapter 19 of Proverbs, verse 18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Don't fall for him squalling and bawling. Go ahead and correct him. Amen. That's what the Bible says. And then the Bible tells us in chapter 22, verses 6 and 15, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The problem is, some of us have done exactly that. We've trained up the child in the way we wanted them to go. Are you listening to me? We've trained up a child in the way we wanted them to go, and now they've gotten older, and they're going the way we've trained them, and we don't like it because they're causing us heartache and trouble. All we do with our children now is lay down on our face and cry and beg God to do some miracle in their life when all we've done is train them up in the way of the world. We think we can get by with this. We're not getting by. Have you noticed? We're not getting by with it. I've often said God does not give us good children. God gives us children. And then they're whatever we train them to be. We teach them the things of this world are more important. I want you to be the greatest athlete because I want you to make millions of dollars. And I want you to be a hero for the world. And I want you to. What does God want? Huh? And they grow up, my friend, and very few get to be those professional athletes. Very few make it. And then those that do, look at them. They end up being a flop. They end up doing prison time, messed up on drugs, all manner of evil, ungodly things in their life. Every one of them. You stop thinking about it, start counting them. Amen. I've always said it, and I'll say it again, and I hope God keeps me saying it. We did not raise athletes in our home. We raised Christians. We raised children to serve, to grow up and serve God, not just when they were young, but when they got older, to serve God. And you know what they're doing? They're doing just like this young couple's family's doing. They're serving God tonight. Why? That's all they've been taught to do. They don't know to do anything else. Hallelujah! We never give them a taste of the world. If they got it, they got it on their own. We didn't give it to them. Amen. Oh, folks, I'm telling you, God's got the key to this thing if we just believe Him. The Bible says in verse 15 there in 22, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Verse 13 of chapter 23 says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Let me give you another one. Verse 15 and 17. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Did you hear what God said? He said, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left himself bringeth his mother to shame. Verse 17 says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Hallelujah. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, it does my heart good to stand up and give the testimony. Now, you can call it bragging all you want. But if it is bragging, it's bragging on the Lord. For all we've done is what God said do, and God took care of the rest. But it sure is good to get up and give the testimony. Hey, listen, we have never lost a night's sleep over any one of our three children. We have never stayed up late at night. We don't know what it's like to stay up at night and down on our face before God, or just off in the corner hugged up crying and said, I don't know where they are. They're probably out to no good again. Oh, and if the phone rings, we say, oh no, what is it? We don't have any idea about what that's like. You say, then who are you to try to tell me? I'm telling you, we don't know what it's like because we followed God's recipe. Genuine strawberry shortcake. Amen. No dill pickles involved. Amen. We look back over our lives and my friend, I'm going to tell you, perfect? No. Remember that. No. But boy, we see the hand of God in our lives. Why? Because we made sure His hand was always in our life. Amen. We made those decisions. My friend, when I got saved, I made the decision, I'm going to follow Christ. And it was emotional, but it was from my heart. And all these years now, some 46 years, I've been serving God. And He's been blessing. My friend, I'm telling you, it's easy when you just purpose in your heart to serve God. See, I don't get up tomorrow and think about whether I ought to come to church tomorrow night. You say, well, you shouldn't. You're the preacher. Even if I wasn't the preacher, you know where I'd be? If I was at home and our church was having a revival, you know where I would be tomorrow night? I'd be at church listening to some other preacher preach. Why? That decision's already been made for me. Some of you pray every day, should I go to church tonight? Lord, what do you want? I already know what God wants out of me. Amen. I know He has a perfect will for my life, and I know what it is. You say, well, boy, aren't you the sharp one? God tells us that we can know His perfect will. Amen. And now here we live, and we're in the valley of decision, my friend, not knowing what to do. God tells us what to do. Children, let me end with this one tonight. Children are here tonight. Young people are here. You're in the valley of decision. Do you listen to other boys and girls your age? Because they seem to know all the answers. Do you know what their answers are based upon? Their situation. If they've run through a rough time in life, you know what their opinions are going to be? That you should never listen to mom and dad. All they want to do is use you for their own will and their own way. So don't ever listen to your mom and dad. That's going to be their opinion. Amen. Because that's all they know. Is that what you want? Or do you want God's opinion in this thing? That one day, hey, listen, it may be, as we said last night, it might be rough in your home right now. But praise God, when you get up old enough to have your own home, it don't have to be rough. And you don't have to have children that hate mom and dad. Amen. You can teach them, you can show them there's a better way, and it's God's way. Amen. Young people are in that valley of decision tonight. What to do, to stay at home or to leave home just as soon as we get an opportunity to. To seek counsel from other young people that have no idea about real life. Amen. Or to listen, go to church, listen to the man of God as he preaches the word of God and listen to that. Then we've got the young adults or adults tonight that maybe you're at that age where you're seeking a spouse and trying to fit in the church. I know it's tough. I'm serious. I know it's tough. It is because, you see, sometimes our churches, we're not geared for that. Amen. We're not geared for young people that are at that age of where they're looking for a spouse and they're looking around. And my friend, we're just not geared for it. I'm sorry, but some of us are not. We're just not set up to accommodate you. I remember when I was pastoring, we had this nursing home ministry, and I was there at the nursing home as I'd been year after year preaching in this nursing home, preaching in this one nursing home for 22 years out of the 24 that we pastored the church. And I visited this day, and I'm there to preach and have a service with them folks. And as I get there, here's this lady that's always there in the service, a little lady, and she's come in with her little cane, and she's walked around, and she's sat down, and this little lady, she can't talk. She had a stroke. She has no voice to talk with anymore, and she can't talk. She can hear, but she can't talk, and she would mumble and try to do sign language and try to write down things to try to get you to understand what she's saying, and I spoke to her, and we shook hands, and as always, but there was a younger lady that was with her this day. And this younger lady began to speak to me, and she said, "Your name is Danny." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "I don't believe I've ever met you." She said, "No, this is my mom. She's told me about you coming up here and preaching to her and telling her about Jesus." I said, "Well, yes, ma'am." And she said, "Well, I want to thank you." And this lady had a $20 bill folded up in her hand, and she said, "I want to give you this." And I said, "No, ma'am, no, ma'am. I'm not here, for the money. I'm here because God has called me to preach, and He's given me the opportunity to come and preach in this nursing home, and I like it." And I said, I'm not looking for any pay. She said, no. I told Mom I was going to give you this. She said, "It's not much. It's just to let you know we appreciate you." And I guess the lady was probably in her 40s. And I said to her, "Well, ma'am, are you a Christian?" And she said, "Oh, yes. Yes, I am." And I said, "Well, that's good. Where do you go to church?" She said, "I don't go to church." And I said, "Oh, you don't?" She said, "No." She said, "Let me tell you something." She said, me and my husband went to church. And she said, "And then my husband died." Said he had a massive heart attack and died. and said, I kept trying to go to church, and she said, the church wouldn't let me go. And I said, ma'am, what do you mean wouldn't let you go? And she said, well, she said, every woman in that church thought I was after their husband. And she said, I mean, it's almost like the Sunday after my husband, we'd put him to rest. It was almost like that next Sunday, every woman, when I went in the church, they would always get between me and their husband. And she said, and that was fine with me, but said then they would just get ugly about things. Said they treated me awful because they was afraid I was there to get their husband. And she said, and so I finally went to the pastor and talked with him about it, and said he mentioned it to the women and said it just got worse. So I just said, well, if that's the way those Christians are going to be. She said, and I got out of church. I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. I don't understand, but I'm sorry. And I said, I wish I could say it would not be that way in our church. I don't know. I'd never thought of it. What are you saying, Brother Danny? I said, sometimes churches, listen to me. We can do some of the dumbest things. Amen? Young people come in. We can treat them sometimes in a way that turns them away from us. We act like sometimes we don't want to minister to certain people. Amen? Folks, listen to me. The church is a place for everybody, every age group. Amen? We ought to have a place for everybody. Praise the Lord. Now listen, I didn't share this story with you, my friend, tonight, if you're a visitor, to say, well, there ain't no need me going to church. Hey, listen, excuse me, but that's a lame excuse for not serving the Lord in the church. Amen. She should have stayed in there and just showed them she was there for Jesus and not for some man. She should have done that. Just like you should have stayed in church and proved to others that Jesus is all the world to you. Amen. But young people, my friend, in that valley of decision, where do I go to meet a mate? It's amazing to me the ones that go to the bars to meet a mate. That's what I'd like to go find me a good woman yonder in the bar. Come on, goodness. What do you expect to get out of that? Huh? Stop and think about it. What do you expect to get out of that? Your opportunities of finding a good woman in the church, and that's about the only place. Amen. God can bring the right one for you. But listen, we need to serve God, folks. There's so many of us tonight in the valley. We're in the valley of decision. And we need to be very careful of the decision that we make, because we're going to have to live with this decision. We're going to have to face God with this decision. What's it going to be? Shall we continue in sin? What's your decision? If God were to say to you tonight, starting right here, and went to each individual, just like I'm doing, and said, shall you continue in sin? Shall you continue in sin? Shall you, and all the way down to every one of us, and he was right in our face, and waiting, not just moving along, but waiting on an answer from us. Let me tell you something. He is. He's right in your face tonight. And he's saying, what's your decision tonight? Shall you continue in sin? Remember the answer he gave in his word? God forbid. Not, well, I forbid. No, no, no. God forbid that I continue in sin. I'm telling you tonight, we serve a God that's big enough. We quote the verse, but we don't put it to practice. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is God that is in us than the devil that is in this world. God's greater than sin itself. Why not make the right decision tonight? Serve the Lord. When revival meeting comes to an end, you know where you'll be found? Back in church. Amen. Pastor, I have to just get tired of seeing you come, because you're always going to be here. Amen. Or are you going to continue the way you've been going? I'm going to say it again. How's that working for you? A lot of heartaches, isn't it? A lot of grief, isn't it? A lot of valleys, isn't it? It's going to get worse for you. Why not come to the Lord? Why not get things right with him and say, Lord, I'm going to stick with you? You say, but Brother Danny, you preached about it the other night. There's storms, even for the Christian. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you something. Boy, you learn to enjoy the storms of life when God's with you. And you know what? Everybody here that is a Christian, I don't care, even if you're backslidden tonight, you still have got to be honest and say, you know what? My best days of my life were days spent living for Jesus. Then what is the problem? Let's all stand. Everyone's standing tonight. Miss Pam's going to sing for us tonight. Pastor's going to come tonight. Would you obey the Lord tonight? Would you listen to me? You know what? Don't do what Brother Danny says do, but you better be found doing what the Lord says do. If you're lost tonight, sure would be a good night to be saved. Amen. And you can get saved tonight. God is still in the saving business. Hallelujah. We got a dear sister here tonight that just got saved this past Sunday to show us, to prove. God's always proving himself. Amen. And he's proving to us again that he's still in the soul-saving business. Why not come tonight and let God do a work of grace in your life? Christian, why not tonight let that same God do that same work of grace in your life tonight to get you to a place where you just fall in love with him. It's in your heart. It's not that emotional thing, but it's in your heart to serve God. Father, I want to thank you tonight, Lord, for the blessings. God, it's been a joy of mine this week to come, and I know we've got another night, and yet Sunday too, also a great day, looking forward to it. But Lord, it's been a privilege tonight for me to come and to preach in this pulpit once again, to preach your truth to these people. Many of them, Lord, love you. Many of them, God, they know that your word is truth, and they live like they do because they really do believe you. Lord, and I pray for them. I pray, God, that you'd continue to strengthen their life and help them. Lord, through the valleys, the storms of life, just help them, Lord. And then, dear God, I pray for those tonight that have not yet got it settled in their heart. It's still an emotional thing. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm just saying their decision to follow you is still an emotional thing. They get all emotional and stirred up about it, and they'll serve you for a little while. And then it seems like, Lord, they fall back to the old ways. Lord, I pray this week, God, that you'll speak to hearts and get them to make that heart decision, Lord, to where it's in their heart to serve you. Father, would you do that? It would be pleasing to you. Help us to be faithful to obey you. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Let's keep our heads bowed tonight. As Miss Pam begins to sing, why don't you come tonight? Why don't you come tonight?